Good evening. For tonight's lesson, the scripture will be coming from Matthew chapter 25, verses 34 through 40. Matthew 25, verses 34 through 40. And it reads, "Then the king will say to those on his right hand, 'Come, you blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was hungry and you gave me food. I was thirsty and you gave me drink. I was a stranger and you took me in. I was naked and you clothed me. I was sick and you visited me. I was in prison and you came to me.' Then the righteous will answer him, saying, 'Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you drink? When did we see you as a stranger, and take you in, or naked and clothe you? Or when did we see you sick or in prison and come to you?' And the king will answer and say to them, 'Assuredly I say to you, inasmuch as you did it to one of the least of these, my brethren, you did it to me.'"
Thank you, Tony. Is it working? Okay, thank you. Well, welcome. And that reading that Tony just had out of Matthew 25 speaks volumes about benevolence, and it covers everything from hunger to incarceration. And we're going to just touch on that this evening. Now, those of you that were here last week, you may recall Thomas Snow from Tennessee Prison Outreach Ministry was here. Made them successful if they started with a reentry center. The red brick building on the left-hand side is an old Rains Avenue Church of Christ building. They got it and turned it into a reentry center. That started 3 years ago last June. The duplex, the white building on the right, is a men's transition house. That opened June of last year. It houses 8 men on each side and a manager on each side. And there's plans to break ground in January of next year for a women's transition house on the other side of the red brick building at the reentry center, and we pray that that will come about. Now, my wife will tell you I like numbers, not just the book numbers, but numbers. Those are the two really important numbers up there. In the state of Tennessee, recidivism rates are 47%. Recidivism means I've been released from prison, I reoffended, and I went back in. The higher the number, the worse it is. For our state, it's running 47%. So basically, what we have in here tonight is, if you were all incarcerated, this side is going back to prison, this side is staying out. Compare that to 7%. 7% is what TPOM has since they started. Now, there's no set formula for federal or any states on recidivism rate, but the rule of thumb is within 3 years. That's what they go by. 47% or 7%? Anybody here a taxpayer? Which would you rather support? Some of it costs you $28,000 a year for operational costs to keep in prison, or someone who gets out, becomes a productive member of society, and pays taxes. Since they started, TPOM has documented and provided to the Tennessee Department of Corrections that they have offset tax costs by 5%. $15,000 a year per person. We've had about, it's either 11 or 12 men that have been released from Northeast that's gone through these programs. None of them have reoffended. We pray that's the case, that that continues. But recidivism rates are key. TPOM does a great job beyond the bars and a great job helping us behind the bars. Tonight, we're going to spend our time on behind the bars. What do we do, and what do we share, and what do we talk about? Well, behind the bars, we use the New Life Behavior Faith-Based Life Skill Curriculum, recovery, anger, attitudes, and behavior. Not just faith-based, but life skill on where the rubber meets the road. How do we take what we learn from the Bible and put it into our everyday life? Seminars, worship services, ministerial one-on-one visits. And then we do a little bit of work from behind the bars. We have a pen pal program, correspondence courses, mentoring, re-entry, and we work with TPOM in interviewing candidates from Northeast Correctional, and we'll discuss Northeast in just a minute. We interview them to see, do we think that they are going to be successful? And Jim Carden and Tim and I thus far have interviewed some of these men. It's difficult when you've got an applicant and you talk with them and you realize they are not ready, and we recommend TPOM no. Now the final decision is TPOM's. It's not Jim, it's not Tim, it's not mine. But we can see what will help make them successful, and we can see the void or will cause them to be a high risk. We have something new, Day Reporting Center. That is part of the Tennessee Department of Correction. And we have one here in Johnson City. And last month, we got involved with them in a formal way. Or I should say, seven of our ladies got involved with them in a formal way. They have a time slot on Wednesdays, now between 1 and 2 o'clock, basically women teaching women. And this is significant. Notice what their mission statement is. To enhance public safety by providing guidance, training, education, and supervision to promote successful rehabilitation and reentry. That's how you reduce recidivism rate. We want to try and help them from behind the bars have these people even more ready. The ladies are involved in Debbie or Arlene, and the other, there's five others that are helping out. If you've got any questions on this, you can. But right now, what their course they're teaching is a sense of self. And that's a new life behavior course. And thus far, it's going along quite well. Okay, let's talk about prison ministry update from central standpoint. Northeast Correctional Complex in Mountain City, and also in Rome Mountain. There's about 2,000 men. 75% of them are on the compound in Mountain City. 15% are in the main annex in Mountain City. 10% are in Rome Mountain. 2,000 men. We can talk academically about incarceration, trying to help people, and trying to help them come to accept Christ. But at the end of the day, one at a time. It's a person. But that person behind bars is a number. We're going to talk about 204-788, Unit 9, Cell 17. That's going to be who we follow here for the next few minutes. And what is this all about? Incarceration. 204-788 was released about 3 weeks ago after spending 27 and a half years in prison. Think anything's changed since 1991? A bunch. One of the things that's changed is 204-788. Why was he there? Felony. Status, on parole the rest of his life. What's the future? Positive. Doesn't sound like it should be positive, does it? But it is. And why? something I first got involved with Prince Ministry that I didn't get enough appreciation for. It's, they don't care how much you know until you know how much they care. And if you can't remember their name, forget it. Thank goodness we get to know their names and we don't have to remember number 204788. There's 204788 in the background. That's almost 3 years ago. Chaplain Leiber has been a huge help to us. He's been with the, over 20 years, he's been with the Department of Corrections and he's been a chaplain for the last 9 years. That's a CASA class, one of our new life behavior. It was the first one to graduate on the main compound. There he is, 704-288, a real live human being. Notice on the left in the yellow, worship service attendance. On the right, graduate CASA, managing Miami. Perfect attendance. Exemplary participation. Seminars. Correspondence. Courses. And worked a lot on it. It was also a pathway. I'd like to read something that he shared with us. This is something that he wrote that we put in the pathway newsletter, which is for the graduates. And I quote, He just finished the course, A Sense of Self. And it was lesson 9 when he was answering all the questions. The last section is understanding how we think. And lesson 11 had to do with as a person thinks. Here's what 204788 said. When I finished this lesson, I sat back and thought about my life, where it once was, and compared it to where it is now. Choices that I made back then, whether good or bad, are just like now. They're still my choices. Sure, I could have chosen not to take drugs and drink alcohol. The decision was mine. When God, my Father, drew me to Christ, I could have chosen to not call upon his name. The choice was mine. What I've learned is that there was a time in which I thought of myself as a complete failure, and that is how I lived. That is how I live my life. As a person thinks in his heart, so he behaves, from Proverbs. Now, however, I'm a new man, and it's no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. My whole mindset has been changed. Christ Jesus is not a failure, and now that he lives in me by the Holy Spirit, I'm not a failure, though at times I still have made bad choices. I don't stay failed, I get up by his strength. Right choice. That's a change that takes place. You saw some of the credentials on the right, and particularly ministerial visits, that caused this. 204788's name is David Kelsey. That's a picture of him standing at TPOM, and they just graduated from one of the programs. The first thing you do when you're accepted there and go through the re-entry is four and a half days preparing to look for a job. He got a job the next week. He's now gainfully employed. So now instead of spending $28,000 a year to keep him incarcerated for 27 and a half years, he's becoming a taxpayer. There, but for the grace of God. So what's changed? How does this really work? Don't worry too much about the numbers. I know I'm a little bit overboard on numbers. But bottom line here in John 4, I think it's 4:35, the fields are white. Far left column, those are the years 2009 to 2018. We've been doing this since June of 2009. We've had 33 classes. And then there's some other parameters going down. Then I notice that over the last couple of years, things have changed. They've changed a lot. So the second column in is what has occurred in just the last full years, 2017. And I put in the classes that are going to graduate next week, plus one more R&R, and then basically the key things, except worship service and ministerial visits or interviews, are complete. The yellow column is what I want you to focus on. If we singled out 2 years and we look at the ratio, that number in the column, if everything was static, would be 22%. What is it? For new life behavior classes, it's up 27%, 5 points over. Students up 36%. Graduates up 37%. So you have an increase. Our graduation rate was a higher percentage than actually the number we increased there. Why? The on our seminars, students bumped up 61%. What changed? Baptisms at 23 in 9 years, 15 of them in the last 2 years, up 65%. What's different? What causes those kinds of changes? Every one of them positive, some of them really significant. The key thing is, we now have worship services at every unit. We didn't have any in the main annex until a year ago, February. We've done them 3 times a month, Carter County, twice a month, in the main compound, and once in the main annex. That increased. Our R&R seminar, we changed the venue to get more people in, changed the day, changed where it was. And we increased the number. From 2012 to 2015, we just did 1 a year and only in compound. This year, we will do every unit, and on the main compound, we'll do it twice. Look at the number of students, John. We've got a total of 453 in 9 years. We did 277 in 2 years. And more volunteers, more locations, more time slots, and support from the chaplain, the associate warden of treatment, and the warden. That's it. God gave the increase. There's some individual stories that we could talk about that are significant. But of the 23, 15 have been in the last 2 years. We're seeing now that new life behavior, our worship services, our R&R seminars are accepted by the leadership, not just in Northeast, but us associated with TPOM at the Tennessee Department of Corrections in Nashville. So what are we talking about for 2019? We want to put another new life behavior class on the compound. We do not have one yet in main annex. We want to put one there in the second half of the year. And we want to increase the worship services. We want to put one more on the compound in the first half of 19, and another one in the main annex in the second half. One of the reasons I believe that this has grown, other than the venue issues, is more volunteers and the time that we get to see an individual shrinks. Now, when they're in a class for 15 weeks, we see them once a week for 2 hours. We get to know them. They take 2 classes, we've done them for over 30 weeks. In Carter County, they have 3 different courses. We basically see them for a year. And then on Sundays, you get to see them. Right now, in the main compound, now remember, that's where 75% of the incarcerated are in the Northeast. We see them on the first Sunday and the third Sunday. There's a second Sunday, there's a fourth Sunday, and 4 times a year, there's a fifth Sunday. We need another time slot for worship services. The fields are wide, and that's, to me, what's making the biggest difference, is we're having more opportunity to plant, more opportunity to water, and God has given the increase. So those are the 2 things we really want to work on. So where's that yellow arrow that used to point to 204-788, but now points to David Kelsey, the successful reentry into society. That was what you see today. That was November 16, 2 years ago. So once he finished Tossin in 2015, finished Anger in 2016, the only places we saw him were worship service on the compound, and up until last year, we only were there on the first quote at the top, Eddie Clower is a general editor for a Truth for Today commentaries. He actually was also the author for the Psalms 1 through 50. On page 205, he said, the only way to be at peace with God is to be at war with the devil. If you're not at war with the devil, you're going to have trouble and have peace with God. And I can promise you, behind bars, they're fighting a few different battles than what we have to fight out here. So, we ask for your prayers. We ask for your participation to help them be at peace with God. We need both. We need a continuation of the prayers for the congregation, and we need increased participation. We want more new life behavior classes, two of them this next year. We want more worship services, two of them this year. And we can do it. We have the resources, the training, and the support of the elders, and also of the Tennessee Department of Correction and the leadership in Northeast Correctional. So what I'd like to do now, if you don't mind, is we've got some folks here, Tony, Jim, Tim, and Chig, that go behind the bars. And let them share a couple of things, and then when they finish up, we'll see if there's any questions, and we'll go through this. And if you don't mind, just so I'd like you to please leave this on the screen. Be thinking about how we can help the incarcerated be able to be at peace with God. Now first, Dennis, do you have time to talk a bit about the Pen Pal program?
In addition to going behind the bars, there are other ways that you can serve. It may be that your schedule doesn't allow you to go behind the bars. It may be that you're like me and have some type of immune compromise that you can't go behind the bars. You might say, well, this is very good. I can pray, but is there anything else I can do? Yes, you can be a pen pal. What it means is that I send you an email after you say, yes, I want to be a pen pal. It outlines for you everything you need to know, the do's and the don'ts of corresponding with an inmate. Once we have an inmate and we have a member who's willing to do it, they are assigned to each other. You then choose a pseudonym. A name that you have chosen because you don't use your real name, and you begin to write them. It can be a card that you get, and you can get cards for 50 cents at Dollar Tree that are blank cards. You can write a little message on it. Then you bring the envelope unsealed, unstamped, to the church. It is then sealed. We use the meter here because stamps can't go behind the bars. And then you put it in a slot near the office at church. When they respond, it comes back here to the church, and you pick it up, and then you begin to correspond with them. We are so much today, unlike it was when I was a child, with emails and constant things coming in the regular mail, that I can remember as a child looking forward to the mail and seeing what was in the mail. That's the way they are. You don't have internet behind the bars. You don't email somebody and stay in touch with them. You don't FaceTime them on your phone. So these letters mean a whole lot to the prisoners. So if you can't do the other means of service, for various reasons, and it doesn't matter, then you can be a pen pal. All you have to do is let me know. I will have your contact information. Then as we get names in of inmates who want a pen pal, we will let you know, and you'll be ready to go with it. It's very simple. You have to be patient, because things get screened going in, things get screened coming out. You may write to someone and say, well, it's been 2 days. I haven't heard anything yet. Well, be concerned when it's 2 or 3 weeks. It can take that long sometimes. But you're always needed. There's a way you can help in that. And just contact me if you're willing to do it.
Thank you. Hey, you want to do it?
Well, it's one of those things where you don't see yourself in, you know. And it's almost something that everybody says, well, I don't see myself doing this. I definitely said that myself. What I have learned going into the worship services is that these guys, these men are happy to see you. They're happy to conversate with you. They're happy to learn, even if they're not engaged in the conversation, because some of them sit there just kind of stoic and they don't really say anything, but they're listening. And so there's a connection there, and they'll come back the next time that we have services. And once again, they just sit there and it's like, am I getting through to this guy or what? Don't worry about it. We're there to plant a seed. God gives the increase. We're not there to judge. We're there to help and give them hope, because behind those bars, they don't have much hope. There's a lot of guys that you will make a connection with that you never thought you would make a connection with. There's a guy named Benjamin, and Benjamin was nothing like you would think. Benjamin, once you see Benjamin, you're like, oh, Benjamin. But Benjamin he's the nicest guy you ever want to meet. I don't know what he did, not my judgment. But there's other guys that come to the class that, you know, Ice or Brian Wells, is that his name? Mm-hmm. Yeah, he'll be getting out here soon. And Brian is, they call him the poet. He writes poems. And I have a couple at the house, and he's very good, actually. He says that he even wakes up in the middle of the night because something hits him right then. So he keeps his pad by his bed, and he gets up and he writes, and he shares at every worship service. And some of them are very deep. I'm impressed. And so even if you don't see yourself doing this, like Dennis said, if you just want to be a pen pal, if you don't have the time or whatever to participate in CASA or the religious services at the time, I mean, maybe at some point you can. And it's something that you don't see yourself doing, but I enjoy going up there and talking with the guys and teaching and learning from them even. And even the drive is nice. It's beautiful scenery going up there. And so if you don't see yourself doing it, even if you want to just be supportive of the ones that are doing it, that helps also. So that's all I got. Thank you.
Myself, along with Tony, are newbies in it. You've heard from the field-tested professional and veteran, and you'll hear from others that have been involved with it longer than Tony and I have been. But I'm still learning, I'm still growing, and I'm excited about it. I want to share with you quickly three things that surprised me in a very good way. You know, you go into a lot of things that you've never been to, whether it's Disney or knee replacement or whatever. You never know exactly how it's going to be, but you have these ideas, and sometimes it's not what you thought it would be. First one I want to share with you is the environment. And you may think of me as chauvinist when I make this statement, but I was surprised to realize that there are female correctional officers working inside the prison. I just wasn't expecting that. Why do I mention that? It's because the environment is a controlled and it's a safe environment. There are women, as well as men, obviously, that work there as counselors and in other capacities. But once you're behind the bars, it's different. but it's not something that you feel like you're in danger or there's any reason for you to not feel comfortable there. I venture to say you'd probably have a higher chance of being assaulted in a shopping area parking lot here on the outside as you would inside behind the bars. Second thing is the demeanor of the men. As you see in the picture, if you encountered one of these men on the street, it's highly unlikely that you'd have any clue that you were looking at someone who was a convict or talking with someone who was a convict. We recognize the inmates there once we're inside because they are required to wear clothing that identifies them as such. But it's not because of the way that they act or the way that they handle themselves around you. Certainly they've made bad choices, had bad influences, and chosen bad actions in the past. But when you talk with them, they acknowledge that in the past they made some very wrong choices and decisions, and they admit that, but they're willing and looking forward to trying to improve themselves, and that kind of flows into the third one, their attitude. The men that we deal with, they have made a commitment to change their life, to make an improvement, and do all that they can with the limitations that are upon them while they're behind the bars. But these men, they choose to participate in our programs. They choose to be present at the worship services. And when I say choose, I mean they are all in. They want to be involved. They want to gain all that they can. It takes great resolve for someone who finds themselves in that situation that they're facing a 20, 30, 40-year sentence, or maybe even longer or worse. It takes a lot of resolve to say, I'm going to use the time I'm going to have here wisely, and I'm going to do what I can to make changes. I've thought many times, after having gone into the prisons, what would be my reaction if I were there and had that, I were in that circumstances? I'm not sure that despair wouldn't just overwhelm me and I would not make the choice to turn and do what I could. But their choice is to move forward and make positive, meaningful changes in their lives. This prison ministry affords us an opportunity to provide these men support and strengthen their resolve and to share with them the gospel. I would remind you that going into all the world would include going behind the bars. And the inmates that we have the opportunity to deal with, they are all part of the all creation that we're charged to influence. So my comments this evening are to try and perhaps, one, let you know that working behind the bars in prison ministry is not an uncomfortable activity, but rather it's one that's uplifting and rewarding. I do that in hopes that you might at least consider giving it a try. Again, I'll close with John 4:35, that the fields indeed are white unto harvest.
Thanks, guys. Just the thought that we serve a mighty and a wonderful God, and he commands us with a law of love. So when we reach out, with that love and that support of these men that are behind bars, it's an amazing thing. I sat in the presence of a man that Tony was talking about that sat very quiet and you didn't see much out of him. He said today, it goes in here, and then it goes to here. And Jesus is for everyone. The things that you, just an amazing thing to get that from a man that, you know, a year ago, you didn't get two words out of. And through broken English, he did that today. I saw another man that lived in a solitary confinement and come out and had, through a correspondence course, requested baptism and found God. These men deserve to have someone come and give them support, encouragement, and fellowship. So if you're at all thinking about it, I encourage you to please get involved. My involvement is only random, to be at services on Sunday. You know, we have these classes that go through the week, so I'm not here to be able to do that, but there is opportunity for each of us. So I would say, please, if you're at all interested, and the idea of safety is you're probably more danger going and coming than you are there. It is true. Absolutely. So
I was up at the prison today for our service, and one of the men, Carlos, I was up there a couple of weeks back, right at the Sunday after he was baptized on Friday, and of course we did the Lord's Supper. Of course, each Sunday we're there, and of course most of the men are not New Testament Christians, but for him, I was sort of thinking about the first time I took the Lord's Supper when I was baptized, I think, in 1954, and there must have been 25 of us who went forward, I think most of us, to be baptized. And back then they took the confession not in the baptistry. They did it different than they do today. But nevertheless, Carlos is... certainly, I didn't know as much about him as I learned last week or so about some of the things, what kind of person he was. But he's from Puerto Rico, and very quickly I gave him a lesson in the World Bible School series that's for members of the Lord's Church. And he got it back to me real quick, and he didn't miss many questions, just one or two, little tricky little questions. And, of course, I made corrections on that, and I gave him another study. It's a little bit harder, and he was telling me today he's going to take a while. It's pretty hard, and I told him to just answer what he could. And I also had a lesson on the Church of the Bible. It's one that J.C. Choate did, and it's in Spanish. And I thought, well, he could read that pretty well. Should be able to. It's his native language. I told him, now, you make sure when you answer the questions, answer them in English. I'm not going to be able to answer it. Otherwise, I'm in trouble. But anyway, he'll be able to do that one. But nevertheless, the seed changes there. But I'm thinking, too, about Carlos, and as you've learned about this program, TFOM program in Nashville, and the kind of program that's designed for these men. And I'm thinking about Carlos and others like him that may not be able to go to Nashville. They're going to be released in our area. And what's out there for them. And I'm thinking about, you know, if they know they're going to a particular congregation, or maybe it's going to a particular town. Let's just say it's Sneedville or it's Morristown, wherever it is. If it's a congregation there, if it's a way that we can intercede at least to know that we have a physical address where they're going. And be able to contact these congregations in an area and have some kind of a welcome bag or whatever it is for these men when to tell them about congregations in the area that they'd attend, and maybe some various things that might sort of get them started, help them out a little bit. You know, we learn about a lot of things about these men. As Marshall mentioned, a man that was in prison in 1991 to 2018. A lot of changes have taken place, certainly. But again, getting a driver's license and things like that, and learning about the internet, just everything else. And learning about, getting a checking account. And it said many of them didn't have checking accounts. So there's a lot of things they got to learn about. But what can we do, and what can congregations do in the area like that? And I'm sure there are other things I could talk about, but that's just some thoughts I have.
Thank you, guys.
Well, if we were in prison at this time, we'd ask this question. There may be someone out here that is not a child of God. How do they become one? You know, in lesson 3 in CASA, or lesson 7 in CASA, it lays it out. It calls it a simple plan. And it is simple. Hear, believe, repent, confess, be baptized, and then live faithfully. And we very seldom have someone at the prison in a worship service that comes forward then. But later they do. Or it may be a case where you are a child of God and something's got wrong or a little bit sideways and you would like the prayers of the church. And if that's the case, we certainly would like to accommodate that. So in either case, if you could, or want to, we'd love to pray with you and for you. Let's please go now and rise and sing.